worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the Word of God, in the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free, Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting for those who belong to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and never treat them harshly. Children, always obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not aggravate your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything you do. Try to please them all the time, not just when they are watching you. Serve them sincerely because of your reverent fear of the Lord. Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. But if you do what is wrong, you will be paid back for the wrong you have done. God has no favorites. All of Colossians chapter 3. Lord, thank you for the eternal wisdom, the grace, and the power that permeates your word. Thank you for how that your word, your spirit reaches through your word and ministers grace, peace, blessing, and encouragement. And Lord, thank you for the fact that your word is pregnant with the ability to bless us, to empower us, to encourage us, to stir us, and to set us on fire of your Holy Spirit. More and more empower us all to become much more faithful hearers and doers of your word. And with every passing day, Lord, help us to fall more in love with you and with your word. And more, may your word more and more not only bless us, but may we be believers who are faithful to teach, train, and encourage others to get into your word and thus receive the blessings from doing that in their lives as well. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, right now we look to your authority. Father, we look to you as King. We look to your leadership. Father, thank you so much for guiding us in your kingdom, for guiding us in the ways of life, for showing us the ways we should live. Father, thank you so much for not just telling us how we should live, but by showing us and loving us first. Father, right now we look to scriptures to see more about your character. And Father, we just ask that you'd reveal yourself to us more and more. In your holy name, amen.
Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. You know, Psalm 119, verse 105 tells us, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And on a pretty regular basis, we do encourage our listeners to set the goal, if it's not already something that's at work in your life, to set the goal of reading no less than 3 chapters in your Bible every single day. Now, keep in mind, that might be 3 different chapters. It might be reading the same chapter 3 times over. But one of the goals is that you will become very consistent and faithful in feeding and nourishing your spirit, and your mind, and your body as well. Remember, God's word is food for your spirit, but also it's medicine to your entire being. It does minister to your whole being in a way that no one or nothing else does or can. And so getting into God's word, I don't have the ability to overemphasize how much it blesses you, blesses your life, and pours grace into your life as well. So please take it very serious, the importance of getting into God's word, the importance of consuming the word of God every single day, obviously for yourself, but also keep in mind to every parent listening, our goal is to help fill our children's lives with the word of God as well, because obviously we want to be blessed by the word, but also as parents, we want the best for our children. And the best for your children is Jesus. And Jesus is the word of God. I want to take time now to share a discipleship article, as we often do. Please email us to get a copy of it so that you'll have it just as a discipleship tool and resource for you to hang on to. My email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. The title of this article is The High Priority of Discipling Our Children. Again, the title, The High Priority of Discipling Our Children. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 to 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Again, Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 to 9. Then Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight, for I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. Again, Proverbs 4, 1 to 7. Then Ephesians 6, 1 to 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Again, Ephesians 6, verses 1 to 4. Parents carry their children in their hearts. Their children are very important to them and precious to them. As parents, we want the absolute best for all of our children in every area of life. A very important truth for all parents to be mindful of is that the best we can give our children is Jesus. The greatest gift that they can ever receive in life is Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Jesus is eternal life. So as parents, we're very wise to do all we can to help and encourage our children to receive Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. Once our child is saved, it is one of the great responsibilities of Christian parents to disciple them. It is our calling from the Lord to help and guide our children to become strong, vibrant believers who love and follow Jesus Christ in their life and lifestyle. Why is this so important? First of all, we're commanded to make disciples, as Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20 tell us. And this very important calling is to start with ourselves and then move directly to our families, our spouses, and children. So, in considering the great responsibility of discipling our children, just what are some of the steps or practical building blocks we are to utilize? What are the things we can do to effectively and practically carry out this important responsibility? Let's consider a few things a parent can do to help their children to begin to grow up in the Lord. The following are some practical things, ideas and suggestions Christian parents can do to help and encourage their children to come to know the Lord and to grow in their faith as well. Well, you can pray daily with your children. Pray the Lord's Prayer with them and allow them to lead. Pray Psalm 91 daily with the children, with the family. Allow them to hear you call their name in prayer every day. Give your children incentives to memorize and learn Bible-based prayers. Also, have your child read no less than 3 chapters in the Word of God daily. You can find shorter chapters, Psalms, or simply select a given passage. For younger children, for children who do not yet know how to read, let them repeat short chapters and/or passages after you say them before them. Some of those could be Psalm 1, Psalm 23, Psalm 100, and other short ones like those. Ask your child questions about what they've read. What are 2 or 3 important things he or she heard or picked up from what they read? What stood out? Teach your children to obey the Word of God. Teach them to be doers of the Word of God. See James 1, 22. And teach your children the meaning of each of the 10 commandments and have them to memorize them. Teach them to pray the 10 commandments every day for the church and for our nation. Also, parents, it's very important for us to recognize this reality. Someone or something will disciple your child one way or another. In other words, certain people or things will capture your child's attention, interest, and/or heart in this world. Some of these might be celebrities, sports figures, television, the internet, things on his or her cell phone, video games, people they quote-unquote meet in chat rooms on the internet, etc. Some topics that they may come across on the internet may captivate them in their mind and their interest. And yes, these things can begin to quote-unquote disciple our children. Some of these things can begin to mold their thoughts and their thinking and their perspectives about life and the world in too many wrong and twisted ways. And too often the results can be tragic. Consider sad incidents that you hear of too often in the news. Some of these news stories include a teenage boy who was shot and killed by an individual as he tried to run away after stealing something from a store. Elementary-age children attempting and sometimes succeeding in committing suicide. Young people committing suicide after being bullied online or in school. We can pick up in this article on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
Trust in you, I will keep.
The music of Planet Shakers with Only Way, a reminder that Jesus Christ is the absolutely only way to receive eternal life and eternal salvation. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession, and we're sharing from an article entitled The High Priority of Discipling Our Children. We'll pick up here. Teach your children the meaning of each of the Ten Commandments and have them to memorize the Ten Commandments. Teach them to pray the Ten Commandments every day and to pray them for the church and for our nation. Also, parents, it's very important for us to recognize this reality. Someone or something will disciple your child one way or another. In other words, certain people or things will capture your child's attention, interest, and or heart in this world. Some of these are celebrities, sports figures, television, the internet, things on his or her cell phone, video games, people they quote-unquote meet in chat rooms, etc. Some topics that they come across on the internet may captivate them and their mind and interest. And yes, these things can begin to quote-unquote disciple our children. Some of these things can begin to mold their thoughts, their thinking, and their perspectives about life in the world in too many wrong and twisted ways. And too often, the results can be tragic. Consider sad incidents that we may hear of and similar ones in the news today. Some of these news stories may include, number one, a teenage boy who was shot and killed by an individual as he tried to run away after stealing an item from a store. Elementary children attempting and sometimes succeeding in committing suicide. Young people committing suicide after being bullied online or in school. Three young girls went off into the woods and two of them tried to stab the third little girl to death. A teen recently walked into his school and began to shoot and murder a number of his classmates. And tragically, we could go on and on. Where do these children and youth get the ideas and thoughts to do such things? Too often, the devil, through the internet and social media, TV, movies, and the like, these are discipling our children too often in darkness. Too often, these young people are consuming darkness by the gallon. Some of these youths may attend church, but many of them, while they consume darkness and put so much negative info and ideas into their minds, many of these same young people may literally never or almost never even open a Bible and read it. Parents, without question, we have much work to do in discipling our own children, and we have much work to do through the church in reaching youth in our communities as well. Yet keep in mind, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We don't have to be afraid. We simply have to trust our Heavenly Father and diligently be about his business. God can work through each of us as parents to help our children greatly in growing up in their faith. Not only can we help them to avoid being victims of this world, but we can also help them to become kingdom warriors. And as kingdom warriors, they can help to bring Christ, the solution to all of the world's problems, to a world that desperately needs him. Again, the title of that article, The High Priority of Discipling Our Children. To get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We pick up now reading through the Word of God in the book of Esther. Esther chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. That night the king had trouble sleeping, so he ordered an attendant to bring the book of the history of his reign so it could be read to him. In those records, he discovered an account of how Mordecai had exposed the plot of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the eunuchs who guarded the door of the king's private quarters. They had plotted to assassinate King Xerxes. What reward or recognition did we ever give Mordecai for this? The king asked. His attendants replied, "Nothing has been done for him." "Who is in the outer court?" the king inquired. As it happened, Haman had just arrived in the outer court of the palace to ask the king to impale Mordecai on the pole he had prepared. So the attendants replied to the king, "Haman is out in the court." "Bring him in," the king ordered. So Haman came in, and the king said, What should I do to honor a man who truly pleases me? Haman thought to himself, "Whom would the king wish to honor more than me?" So he replied, "If the king wishes to honor someone, he should bring out one of the king's own royal robes, as well as a horse that the king himself has ridden, one with a royal emblem on its head. Let the robes and the horse be handed over to one of the king's most noble officials, and let him see that the man whom the king wishes to honor is dressed in the king's robes and led through the city square on the king's horse. Have the official shout as they go, this is what the king does for someone he wishes to honor." "Excellent," the king said to Haman. "Quick, take the robes and my horse and do just as you have said for Mordecai the Jew, who sits at the gate of the palace. Leave out nothing you have suggested." So Haman took the robes and put them on Mordecai, placed him on the king's own horse, and led him through the city squares, shouting, "This is what the king does for someone he wishes to honor." Afterward, Mordecai returned to the palace gate, but Haman hurried home, dejected and completely humiliated. When Haman told his wife, Zeresh, and all his friends what had happened, his wise advisors and his wife said, "Since Mordecai, this man who has humiliated you, is of Jewish birth, you will never succeed in your plans against him. It will be fatal to continue opposing him." While they were still talking, the king's eunuchs arrived and quickly took Haman to the banquet Esther had prepared. Esther chapter 7. So the king and Haman went to Queen Esther's banquet. On this second occasion, while they were drinking wine, the king again said to Esther, "Tell me what you want, Queen Esther. What is your request? I will give it to you, even if it is half the kingdom." Queen Esther replied, "If I have found favor with the king, and if it pleases the king to grant my request, I ask that my life and the lives of my people be spared. For my people and I have been sold to those who would kill, slaughter, and annihilate us. If we had merely been sold as slaves, I could remain quiet, for that would be too trivial a matter to warrant disturbing the king." "Who would do such a thing?" King Xerxes demanded. Who would be so presumptuous as to touch you?" Esther replied, "This wicked Haman is our adversary and our enemy." Haman grew pale with fright before the king and queen. Then the king jumped to his feet in a rage and went out into the palace garden. Haman, however, stayed behind to plead for his life with Queen Esther, for he knew that the king intended to kill him. In despair, he fell on the couch where Queen Esther was reclining, just as the king was returning from the palace garden. The king exclaimed, "Will he even assault the queen right here in the palace before my very eyes?" And as soon as the king spoke, his attendants covered Haman's face, signaling his doom. Then Harbona, one of the king's eunuchs, said, "Haman has set up a sharpened pole that stands 75 feet tall in his own courtyard. He intended to use it to impale Mordecai, the man who saved the king from assassination." "Then impale Haman on it," the king ordered. So they impaled Haman on the pole he had set up for Mordecai, and the king's anger subsided. Esther chapter 8. On that same day, King Xerxes gave the property of Haman, the enemy of the Jews, to Queen Esther. Then Mordecai was brought before the king, for Esther had told the king how they were related. The king took off his signet ring, which he had taken back from Haman, and gave it to Mordecai. And Esther appointed Mordecai to be in charge of Haman's property. Then Esther went again before the king, falling down at his feet and begging him with tears to stop the evil plot devised by Haman the Agagite against the Jews. Again the king held out the gold scepter to Esther. So she rose and stood before him. Esther said, "If it please the king, and if I have found favor with him, and if he thinks it is right, and if I am pleasing to him, let there be a decree that reverses the orders of Haman, son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, who ordered that Jews throughout all the king's provinces should be destroyed. For how can I endure to see my people and my family slaughtered and destroyed?" Then King Xerxes said to Queen Esther and Mordecai, the Jew, "I have given Esther the property of Haman, and he has been impaled on a pole because he tried to destroy the Jews. Now go ahead and send a message to the Jews in the king's name, telling them whatever you want, and seal it with the king's signet ring. But remember that whatever has already been written in the king's name and sealed with his signet ring can never be revoked." So on June 25th, the king's secretaries were summoned, and a decree was written exactly as Mordecai dictated. It was sent to the Jews and to the highest officials, the governors, and the nobles of all the 127 provinces stretching from India to Ethiopia. The decree was written in the scripts and languages of all the peoples of the empire, including that of the Jews. The decree was written in the name of King Xerxes and sealed with the king's signet ring. Mordecai sent the dispatches by swift messengers who rode fast horses, especially bred for the king's service. The king's decree gave the Jews in every city authority to unite to defend their lives. They were allowed to kill, slaughter, and annihilate anyone of any nationality or province who might attack them or their children and wives, and to take the property of their enemies. The day chosen for this event throughout all the provinces of King Xerxes was March 7th of the next year. A copy of this decree was to be issued as law in every province and proclaimed to all peoples, so that the Jews would be ready to take revenge on their enemies on the appointed day. So, urged on by the king's command, the messengers rode out swiftly on fast horses bred for the king's service. The same decree was also proclaimed in the fortress of Susa. Then Mordecai left the king's presence, wearing the royal robe of blue and white, the great crown of gold, and an outer cloak of fine linen and purple. And the people of Susa celebrated the new decree. The Jews were filled with joy and gladness and were honored everywhere. In every province and city, wherever the king's decree arrived, the Jews rejoiced and had a great celebration and declared a public festival and holiday. And many of the people of the land became Jews themselves, for they feared what the Jews might do to them. Esther chapter 9. So on March 7th, the two decrees of the king were put into effect. On that day, the enemies of the Jews had hoped to overpower them, But quite the opposite happened. It was the Jews who overpowered their enemies. The Jews gathered in their cities throughout all the king's provinces to attack anyone who tried to harm them. But no one could make a stand against them, for everyone was afraid of them. Verses 1 and 2, Esther chapter 9. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. As we are reading through the Word of God, we'll be right back. Music from Hillsong with Oceans. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We pick up now reading through the Word of God in the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse 17. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to prepare the Passover meal for you?" "As you go into the city," he told them, you will see a certain man. Tell him, 'The teacher says, my time has come, and I will eat the Passover meal with my disciples at your house.' So the disciples did as Jesus told them and prepared the Passover meal there. When it was evening, Jesus sat down at the table with the 12. While they were eating, he said, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me." Greatly distressed, each one asked in turn, "Am I the one, Lord?" He replied, "One of you who has just eaten from this bowl with me will betray me. For the Son of Man must die, as the scriptures declared long ago. But how terrible it will be for the one who betrays him. It would be far better for that man if he had never been born." Judas, the one who would betray him, also asked, "Rabbi, am I the one?" And Jesus told him, "You have said it." As they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take this and eat it, for this is my body." And he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them and said, "Each of you drink from it, for this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. Mark my words, I will not drink sacrifice, excuse me, mark my words, I will not drink wine again until the day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Then they sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. On the way, Jesus told them, "Tonight all of you will desert me, for the scriptures say, God will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised from the dead, I will go ahead of you to Galilee and meet you there." Peter declared, "Even if everyone else deserts you, I will never desert you." Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, Peter. This very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny three times that you even know me." "No," Peter insisted. "Even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you." And all the other disciples vowed the same. Then Jesus went with them to the olive grove called Gethsemane. And he said, "Sit here while I go over there to pray." He took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and he became anguished and distressed. He told them, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." He went on a little farther and bowed with his face to the ground, praying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." Then he returned to the disciples and found them asleep. He said to Peter, "Couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Then Jesus left them a second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cup cannot be taken away unless I drink it, your will be done." When he returned to them again, he found them sleeping, for they couldn't keep their eyes open. So he went to pray a third time, saying the same thing again. Then he came to the disciples and said, "Go ahead and sleep. Have your rest. But look, the time has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Up, let's be going. Look, my betrayer is here." And even as Jesus said this, Judas, one of the 12 disciples, arrived with a crowd of men armed with swords and clubs. They had been sent by the leading priests and elders of the people. The traitor Judas had given them a prearranged signal. "You will know which one to arrest when I greet him with a kiss." So Judas came straight to Jesus. "Greetings, Rabbi," he exclaimed, and gave him the kiss. Jesus said, "My friend, go ahead and do what you have come for." Then the others grabbed Jesus and arrested him. But one of the men with Jesus pulled out his sword and struck the high priest's slave, slashing off his ear. "Put away your sword," Jesus told him. "Those who use the sword will die by the sword. Don't you realize that I could ask my Father for thousands of angels to protect us, and he would send them instantly? But if I did, how would the scriptures be fulfilled that describe what must happen now?" Then Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I some dangerous revolutionary that you come with swords and clubs to arrest me? Why didn't you arrest me in the temple? I was there teaching every day, but this is all happening to fulfill the words of the prophets as recorded in the scriptures." At that point, all the disciples deserted him and fled. Then the people who had arrested Jesus led him to the home of Caiaphas, the high priest, where the teachers of religious law and the elders had gathered. Meanwhile, Peter followed him at a distance and came to the high priest's courtyard. He went in and sat with the guards and waited to see how it would all end. Inside, the leading priests and the entire high council were trying to find witnesses who would lie about Jesus so they could put him to death. But even though they found many who agreed to give false witness, they could not use anyone's testimony. Finally, two men came forward who declared, "This man said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days.'" Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, "Well, aren't you going to answer these charges? What do you have to say for yourself?" But Jesus remained silent. Then the high priest said to him, "I demand in the name of the living God, tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." Jesus replied, "You have said it. And in the future you will see the Son of Man seated in the place of power at God's right hand and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothing to show his horror and said, "Blasphemy! Why do we need other witnesses? You have all heard his blasphemy. What is your verdict?" "Guilty," they shouted. "He deserves to die." Then they began to spit in Jesus' face and beat him with their fists, and some slapped him, jeering, "Prophesy to us, you Messiah. Who hit you that time?" Meanwhile, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A servant girl came over and said to him, "You are one of those with Jesus the Galilean." But Peter denied it in front of everyone. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. Later, out by the gate, another servant girl noticed him and said to those standing around, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." Again, Peter denied it, this time with an oath. "I don't even know the man," he said. A little later, some of the other bystanders came over to Peter and said, "You must be one of them. We can tell by your Galilean accent." Peter swore, "A curse on me if I'm lying. I don't know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed. Suddenly, Jesus' words flashed through Peter's mind. "Before the rooster crows, you will deny 3 times that you even know me." And he went away weeping bitterly. All of Matthew chapter 26. You've been listening to the Hour of Intercession as we've been reading through the Word of God, reading specifically in the New Testament, in the Gospel of Matthew. Father, thank you again for the many ways that our lives are guided, impacted, molded, and shaped more and more to be like you as we take time to read and meditate on your word each and every day. Father, anoint us all afresh with the Spirit of grace that would encourage us to become even more diligent students of your word, believers who read and meditate on it every day, and believers who seek to live it faithfully by the power of your Spirit each and every day as well. And help us to faithfully, as parents and grandparents, to teach, train, and guide our children to begin to read at least three chapters a day as well, so that they too can be blessed by this important spiritual habit and spiritual discipline in their home. And help us, Lord, to reach out to other children in our communities to teach, to help them to come to know Christ and to learn to grow up in their faith as well. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. As we usually do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you have never given your life to Christ, we'd like to invite you to make that eternally important decision even now. Would you, from your heart, pray this prayer with us even now? Lord Jesus, you have loved us with an everlasting love. You loved us so much that you came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all the wrong things I've ever done. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, now I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to obey you daily. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed and gave your life to Christ or recommitted your heart to the Lord, we would like very much to be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please email us so we can share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your new relationship and walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please do get in touch. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. We definitely hope that you'll email us and let us know and let us get this information to you. Also, if you'd like to get a copy of the article we shared earlier, the title of the article, The High Priority of Discipling Our Children, if you want to get a copy, simply email us, same email, joseph@afr.net. Thanks for listening. If you don't have the habit of reading 3 chapters in your Bible already, today is a good day to start that habit. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.